this is not a news broadcast. I know that music sounds like it, but you're listening to Glenn Coble, and this is A Progressive Life, my show, and I hope you will enjoy it. We are on both on Wednesday and Thursday. We run for about an hour, well, 45 minutes between 12:15 and 1 o'clock, and we talk about all sorts of stuff. Today will be a potpourri of complete nonsense, but it will not be terribly political, which will relieve some of you people, I'm absolutely certain. But you know, one of the things I really wanted to do is this week we've had some discussion about what is on the Statue of Liberty, the phrase that's on there, and we had I believe he was a congressman, but anyway, we had a gentleman discuss it and basically completely change the meaning of it. But let me read it to you. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Thou warden of the western gate above Manhattan Bay, the fogs of doubt that hid the that hid thy face are driven clean away. Thine eyes at last look far and clear. Thou liftest high thy head to spread the light of liberty worldwide to every land. An interesting poem. The poem was, I'm trying to find the name of the person. The designer was Frederick Augusta Bartholdi, and it was dedicated in October of 1886, and it was a gift to the United States from France. The statue is it's the female figure representing Libertas, who is the Roman goddess of freedom. It has a torch up in there, and when I was very young, I was able to go up there and stand in the torch, but they closed that off for quite a while, and it may still be closed off out of danger of it falling into the bay, I guess, but it may be open now. They've done a lot of work on it. There's a tablet that she's holding, which is kind of interesting. It would be one of Charlie's great trivia questions. Do you know what's inscribed on the tablet that the Statue of Liberty is holding? Well, what is inscribed there is the American Declaration of Independence. That's quite interesting, I think. She also holds the charters of the rights of man, in the other hand. There's a broken chain down at her feet, and that broken chain belies the image of shattered remains of absolutist institutions, places that say these are the absolute laws and absolute ways that life is. Anyway, it's an interesting, I didn't realize that part about thou warden of Western Gate above Manhattan Bay. I didn't realize there was anything that went beyond wretched refuse of your teeming shores. And it says nothing about being able to stand on your own, by the way, which was brought about this week in what I consider an obscene adjustment of the slogan that's on the Liberty Statue of Liberty. I guess it's called a statue. It is awfully tall to be a statue, but that's what I understand. It's considered a colossal statue, if nothing else. All right, I'm going to pull up my notes. These are things that I thought about all week, and the first thing was the Statue of Liberty. I'm going to, one of the things I'm going to try to do in the next few weeks is have a little bit more political, interest by inviting some guests on that may have some political input. We'll try to get it in and out before we start worrying about the election this November. And I'll try to have a few people in. Basically, if I offer the airwaves to one person at a particular party that is running for a job, I'm pretty much supposed to offer it to the person from the other party or the independent that's running for that. So that's kind of what I'm going to do. Anyway, oh, by the way, did you hear that yesterday the Italian government collapsed? I don't know what that means. If the Italian government collapsed, I have a mental picture in my head that everybody in Italy are running around naked and throwing and shooting other people and going crazy. But I don't think that's what happened. We also had this week an interesting but not unexpected change of fortune for gun laws. As you know, I am an advocate for sensible gun regulation. And that the word sensible can mean anything to anybody. I understand that. But I do believe universal background choices or background checks should be in that. I believe the banning of bump stocks and any automatic weapons should be in that. I believe that we ought to have a waiting list, waiting time to get a new gun, but definitely think we should have every gun. We should know where every gun is. Now, we all know that's not going to happen. There are going to be people that will keep their guns that are not registered, but as we go through our history, we will be taking those guns away from people as they're caught doing wrong things. And eventually we will get it down to where we have far fewer guns, I hope, in the United States. And not touching a bit about hunting rifles or protection pistols that you might have in your house, but making sure that we know who has them. I listened on a show this week, and they said that over 90% of the American public wants sensible and universal background checks. Guns should be licensed just like cars. You shouldn't be able, you know, you can't even park a car in your driveway without a license, I believe, even if you don't drive it. I think they have to be licensed, and I think all guns should be licensed, every single one. Even the ones that are licensed to police departments should be licensed so that we know where they are. Anyway, that's Trump has said about a week ago that he agreed with the idea of having more and better, probably said the best ever, background checks. I think yesterday he kind of backed off and said, well, we have really good background checks, and basically said he wasn't going to push on that one, which is exactly what we've done after every single mass murdering thing. We say, oh, we're going to do something about it. And a week later, well, we may not do anything about it now. Now is not the time to talk about it. This is the time for sorrow and thoughts and prayers. That's BS. It is not the. It should have been done years ago. We should have talked about all this. And along that line, I read an awful lot of information about Wayne LaPierre, his wealth. He has $10,000 suits. He flies on $100 million airplanes. He has more money than God. And yet the NRA continues to have him as the head of the NRA. And how does he get that money? He gets it from the working stiff who's a hunter and has to pay because he wants to be a member of the NRA. I really think that you ought to think, if you're a member of the NRA, you ought to rethink that. Why are you paying $5,050,000 a year so that Wayne LaPierre and his wife, who apparently pays an outrageous amount of money to have a hairstylist follow her around to all the countries that they go to. They pay for her flight. They pay for her hotel. They pay for her hairstyling. That's just nuts. I can't understand how anybody would think that that's right. Anyway, that's what made me mad this week, is how much money Wayne LaPierre makes, how much he wastes, and how much he believes that the NRA should pay for his suits, his living. He has a huge home, and his wife's hairdresser. Come on, give me a break. Wake up. Do something about it. I love that term that's come up politically now. Do something. We have a politics right now that both Republican and Democrat who are reticent to do anything. There was a quote that said, I saw on TV, it's better to do nothing than do something because you can't get in trouble for doing nothing. Oh, come on. That's what we're in. The entire United States is in trouble about right now. We are doing nothing. We are doing nothing to help each other. We are doing nothing to control our hedonistic ways. We are doing nothing. We have people that have been indicted and have been subpoenaed and just say, I don't care. I'm not going to go. That's against the law. Put them in jail. I don't like jail, though. Scott and I were talking about that. There are so many things that we put people in jail for that are absolutely ridiculous, whereas good, healthy fines might be able to take the place of putting people in jail. One of my basketball players, his father was the very first Ohio person to get caught by the three strikes and you're out rule. And he was put in jail for something really silly, selling 5 grams of marijuana or something like that, and put in jail for 20 years for something like that. That's just nuts. Anyway, let's ask our legislators, all of our legislators. I'm talking about the people won the job that I was seeking, state representatives. I think we should ask them and hold their feet to the fire because they are just as responsible as our national representatives. All of them need to come out and say what they believe about all the lack of justice, the lack of concern for others, the lack of the law. They're all responsible for saying nothing and doing nothing. Do something. We're all seem to be afraid. And that's kind of where I was when I was running for office. I promised many people that I wouldn't be afraid to stand up against something that people of my party would disagree. Now, I was more than willing to listen to disagreements, but to be afraid of answering to the disagreements, I don't think so. That was not a place I was coming from. I would try to take it in the vein that it was given, the information, and try to make a good decision for all people or for the majority of people. And right now we seem to be afraid of taking any action. There are three legs right now that I was listening to a show that talked about the three-legged stool that this current administration is using to get elected in 2020. And that three-legged stool, one leg is hate. And we have really refined hate to a pretty high standard. We know how to hate each other better than any other country, I think, in this world. Fear is a second leg, and the fear comes from the hate. It's attached with those little round spindles from one leg to the next. The fear, because you hate somebody, you're afraid of them. We got to get over that. I know no one that I hate. I know some people I don't like, but I know no one that I hate. And I'm afraid if somebody came up to me with a gun or a knife and wanted to do away with me, I'd be afraid. But I don't have fear of people because I don't like them. And then the third leg was division. And the way you get the division, these are the three legs of the current administration's view for their 2020 campaign, is to have hate, fear, and division. And that sounds really negative, doesn't it? I don't like to think in negative terms, and I hope that's not true. That was what was talked by one of the talking heads I was watching this weekend. But hate, fear, and division sounds like what's going on right now. The division comes from the hate and from the fear. If you hate somebody and you're afraid of them, you're going to stay away from them. So that causes division. That is not what America is all about. That's not what the Statue of Liberty is implying. This was, I know where it was. It was one of the Morning Joe guests that I was listening to that talked about that. But that's not where we should be. You know what brought us together after World War II is that we liked each other. We respected each other. We cared about each other. Now, I must say, back at the end of World War II, it was white people cared about white people. White people cared about each other. It was black people were kind of left out. And Hispanics had not even been measured at that point. But, you know, you go back at the turn of the previous century, and Polish people were not considered. Italians were not considered. Catholics were out. You had to be in the in crowd, and that's been going on all along. Remember high school? If you were in the in crowd, you got things done. People liked you. If you were not in the in crowd, people didn't like you. They shunned you. They stayed away from you. There was a division. Some people hated you and some people feared you. And that's kind of what we're working on right now, or at least what I think our administration is working on right now to win the election of 2020. And if you want to be a part of America that lives on fear, hate, and division, you go ahead and vote that way. But I think you need to get out and vote to care about each other. That's where we came from. The great times that we have gotten ahead. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt started the New Deal, it was based on the fact that we could help each other. We could move ahead with each other, not divided. Are you listening? Anyway, I'm sorry. The soapbox is a little tall, and I'm struggling to get down off of it. One of the other things I was thinking about, I told you this is going to be all over the place today. One of the things I thought about while I was running for office, I went to the March for Life parade down in Columbus, which was a very nice, well-attended. I met some great people down there. Balky, if you're listening, I'm I'm glad you're my friend. I met Balki on our walk, and I think he was from Pakistan. It might have been India, but we had a great time. We've become pretty good friends on Facebook, and I enjoy reading his stuff. He would have been glad to vote for me, but he was just slightly out of my district. Anyway, I went to that March of Life, had some good speakers. It went on a little too long. Many of these speaking things do go on a little too long. But I was surrounded by people that cared about each other. As a matter of fact, one of our local ministers, Reverend Kiger, happened to be in the crowd, and we got together and shot the breeze. But listened to a lot of people talking about gun violence at that. And one of the proudest moments, truly proud moment I had when I went to that march is I got out of my car and I had a sign that said, "I stand with the kids." That was my sign. A young, very young girl, probably 17, 18, came over to me very quietly, didn't make a big thing out of it. And she said, "What's your name?" And I told her, and she said, "I see you're running for office," because I had a button on that said I was running for state representative. And she said, "I'll remember your name." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And she said, "I was at Parkland when the shooting went down, and we will all remember your name." I told her I was voting for to support better gun control. She said, "I'll remember your name." And I thought, well, isn't that nice of that young lady? And as I walked away from her, I realized it was one of the faces that I had seen on television not too long before, who was one of the kids that was trying to make a change. And there were some tremendous kids in that group that have tried to make a change. And I hate to see our president going back on his word. He does every day. I don't know why it surprises me. It doesn't surprise me, and that's why we're in such a chaotic mess right now in the United States, because nobody knows what we're doing. We're just playing it by the seat of our pants. I don't think that's the way to run a big government. It definitely isn't the way that I've ever known that people run a big corporation, let alone a government. That was one of the proudest moments of my life, to have one of the kids who was an advocate for gun control. And I'm not supposed to, the Democratic Party tells you not to use the term gun control. That sounds bad. I'm not very politically correct that way. It is gun control. We need to control the number of guns that we have out there. We need to control the type of guns that we have out there. We do not need to control people who go hunting or control people that have it for personal protection. But we do need some common sense gun laws. I am I am opposed to being able to carry a concealed weapon. I'm opposed to being able to carry an open weapon. We saw a young man, I guess he was a young man, it was hard to tell, who had one strapped to his side. And when my wife and I came home from North Carolina in a restaurant, and the only reason we could figure that he was carrying a weapon where we could see it was he wanted to intimidate us. That and his rebel flag bandana that he was wearing, I'm absolutely certain that was his intent. It wasn't that he was making a political statement. He was saying, "You better be afraid of me." And there have been a lot of kids all my life, kids, the bullies that I knew that wanted you to be afraid of them. I take that with a grain of salt. And most of those people I just look at with disgust. I'm not sure that's the right term. I have no respect for people that do that sort of thing. Anyway, had he been a cop and needed to have that gun, that's a different thing. Or had he been a person who was a night watchman, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he needed to have a gun on his side. You know, the British police didn't carry guns for years and years and years and years and still don't carry a lot of guns. So, and they got along fine. Anyway, that was one of the, back to the Parkland thing. That was a great moment in my life. I was so proud. It's fun to be proud of yourself every once in a while. You got to be careful. You can become overly proud of yourself. And I've been told by some people that I have done that. Another thing that happened this week, absolutely surprised the heck out of me, is that the president decided or thought, maybe I'll buy Greenland. Why? Okay, there's only one reason why we would buy Greenland. That's to rape all the metals and fuel and everything you can steal out of that the largest island in the world. Just rip it out, hilltop it, and leave it a shell of what it was. From what I listened to on in the Nature Channel, I believe, is there is a, if all the all the ice melted off of Greenland, which would happen if you started ripping all the stuff out of Greenland, if it all melted, it could raise the level of all the oceans 25 feet. Okay, there goes Florida, or at least most of Florida. A lot of the East Coast and the West Coast would be underwater. The Mississippi would back up so badly that a lot of the Midwest would be underwater. There goes all your food, your corn, your wheat, your beans. It would absolutely destroy what we know of as the United States of America. So go ahead. That's a great idea. The crazy thing about that is he was going to buy Greenland. Well, Greenland is owned by Denmark. It's considered a constituent country of the Kingdom of Denmark. That's what it's considered. They have their own government, but it's still owned by Denmark, and he'd have to buy it from Denmark. Well, he was going to take a trip over to Denmark, but he got all mad at him, apparently, and it's not going to take it anymore because, well, my guess is because they won't sell him Greenland, and they basically laughed at him. There are a lot of things you can say about the current administration that are laughable, but for other countries to flat out laugh at him, I'm embarrassed. I truly am embarrassed for the United States of America and our administration, I say with quotes around it. But anyway, I don't think we're going to be buying Greenland. I hope we're not going to be even talking about buying Iceland or any of those islands that are out there. We have enough problem controlling what we have and legislating and governing what we have right now. Which brings me to another point that I was stewing over this week, and that's the Electoral College. The Electoral College, to me, seems like an absolute plan to do away with democracy. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that the Electoral College was devised by men of old who thought, well, there are too many stupid people out there, so we ought to have a control over that just in case they nominate somebody like Hillary Clinton. You know, a woman. Anyway, let's not go there. But the Electoral College, I'd love to hear what you think of the Electoral College. By the way, our phone number, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH. Now, I don't really encourage a lot of phone calls, but if you have an idea, I've had several from people that had ideas, and some agreed and some disagreed with me, and I'm more than happy to listen. I will guarantee you I will listen, and I won't call you bad names, and I won't tweet anything bad about you. Not that you'd care. I never have understood why people care what the president tweets about them. You know, that brings up another point. If my child acted like our current administrators act, and I raised them with corporal punishment, I would have lots of those people over my knee. My wife would be yelling at me to stop, but I would be spanking a lot of them. They act like whiny babies. I won't let that go through. Mitch McConnell, let something get through. That's not government what you're doing. That's just closing the door on government. If you disagree with something, bring it up, talk about it, but allow other people to explain to you why you're an idiot. calling names doesn't do any good either. I really am opposed to calling names, and I take that back from our obstructor in chief, senator from Kentucky. Part of all that is a discussion I was listening to about that we must respect the office of president. No, you don't. You don't have to respect. You are a citizen. You have an supposedly equal vote with that jerk that you're disagreeing with. You're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to not hold him in high esteem if he does something really stupid, like the Hollywood tape and all the various lies. What, 12,000 lies the Washington Post has him listed for? How in the world is he the president of the United States? No, I do not honor, and I will not show respect to somebody that lies that much, cheats on his wives to get another wife, a person who cannot be respectful to other people. I don't have to honor that. And the office of president, I've always honored the office of president, the thought that we have a person that is thoughtful, caring, concerned about people, concerned about his fellow Americans. That's something I honor. But right now, it's very difficult to honor that. I really don't like to get on the subjects of our president, the subject of our president, because I can't say anything good. And my mother told me, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. So I'm going to kind of leave it there, but I do think that we need to talk about a change in 2020. I'm not a big impeachment fan. I would like to see him impeached just because I think he deserves to be impeached, and I think that's the responsibility of our representative government. But it's not going to break my heart if we don't. We're running out of time anyway, and it'll be blocked by anything we do will be blocked by Mitch. What do they call him? Moscow Mitch, yes. And I understand he doesn't like that, so I'm going to say it again. Moscow Mitch, you got to get out from in front of the door of progression. We need to move this country forward, not move it back, not stop it, move it forward. And sometimes forward might not agree with the way you want it to go, but forward is the direction that we will eventually go. You can stand there for a long time, but eventually a bulldozer is going to run over you. So anyway, today, this was completely off the thing. I started listening to music, and I talked about, you know, doing a funeral where I have certain songs that I'm going to post it, you know, maybe do a 30-minute mashup of the different songs that indicate what my life has been throughout 73 years. I was listening to one of my favorite songs by the Eagles. I really love the Eagles. And I just watched David Crosby talking about Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and how they don't talk to each other anymore. That's kind of sad. And they refuse to think about talking to each other. That's kind of like our president. I'm going to cry if you did something I didn't like, and I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Anyway, that is exactly like what I would expect our current president to do. But anyway, I like the Eagles. I love the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. But the song I was listening to this morning by the Eagles was Lying Eyes. I listened to the words of Lying Eyes. It's about a young woman who kind of cheats on her. I don't know if it's her husband or just the man she lives with so that she can get money and shelter and stuff like that. But she's living with an older gentleman, which I happen to be. And she's living with him, but many nights she sneaks off and goes to the lion side of town. And that side is where her boyfriend is, where a guy is that she can lie in bed with and feel young again or whatever. And I was thinking, how often does that happen? Are we controlled so much by money that we are willing to make ourselves miserable just so that we can have money? You know, that's kind of an oxymoron, I guess. You want to have money, but you want to be so you can be happy, but you're going to be miserable so you can get some money. I don't understand why. But we are running our government that way right now. We run our government by how much money can I get? And that's kind of like the lying eyes of that young lady. She's going to, excuse me, she's going to be nice to this old guy. And I guess there are a lot of old guys that like to have young women be nice to them. I'm not sure whether it's just being around them or being, you know, the sex part of it or whatever, but she's going to be hang around with this guy and make him happy so that she can get his money, so that she can get the comforts that he offers her. You got to know he knows why she's there. And you also have to know that she now knows why she's there. And her boyfriend knows why she's there. It actually comes down to the definition of a prostitute, I believe. And I'm not just saying females, a lot of us are prostitutes to getting money. Now, we all need money. I understand you have to have money to put food on the table for the kids, and you've got to have money to pay for the house, and you got to have money for this, and you got to have money for that. But you also have to have dignity. And without dignity, what good is money? Of course, without money, how are you going to have any dignity? And that's why we need to think about low income. We should require that all people make a living income, if we can. And I'm not going to advocate that right now. I think there are ways to do it. If we didn't have so many greedy people stealing the money out from underneath the hard-working stiff that we have in the United States. And we do have a lot of people that are LaPierre. He's taken money from a lot of working stiffs. The people that donate to the NRA probably are way lower annual income than he has of $5 million. Anyway, we need to find a way to help everybody. Help everybody feel respected, feel that they have a worth. Without feeling that there's a worth, well, at my age, one of the good things I have, or one of the things I try to do, is make sure I have a project or I have something that I can look forward to doing. For a while, I didn't do anything after I retired, and that was disaster. You've got to have a reason for being alive, or there's no sense in being alive. And that's one of the things we need to afford all of our American people. Matter of fact, I'm going to say we need to afford that to everybody on this globe. We need to find ways to help all of our people live a happier and more progressive life. We need to find ways to stop the despots that are running and killing our people throughout the world. I don't think that we'll ever have a world like John Lennon wrote about in Imagine. I would think that that would be a positive thing. But it wouldn't be positive for those who make $1 billion a year or whatever they make. It wouldn't be positive for all the CEOs that make, 254 times what the average person in their employee makes. Anyway, I'm on my soapbox. I will try not to be on it as much tomorrow. Had a lot of dreams last night and the night before and what I was going to talk about. And they kind of scrambled around the gambit. I know there are people out there that are pretty sure I'm an idiot. But I also know that there are people out there that feel similar. They feel kindred with me, that we need to find ways to like each other. We need to find ways to get along. We need to find ways to make everybody feel proud of themselves. Maybe we'll talk about in the future what's causing all of our young men to go, well, not all of our young men, a very small percentage of our young men to go absolutely berserk and start shooting up people they don't know. It breaks my heart to even think of that. And I have had young sons, and I've lived through those times with them when things weren't going so well, but we were able to help each other, and they were always lucky enough to have one of the parents staying at home, which I think is important, but very difficult to do anymore. Well, I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. Glenn Coble, you're listening to Glenn Coble with A Progressive Life.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
Can you still recite Shakespeare?